jittery. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors online. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors.
Bob, take a shot. What are you waiting for?
Turkey, my dog just went over there. Yeah, there's one right there. I can see his head. Yeah. I'm cocking my gun right now.
Oh, Bob, you missed him.
I missed him.
Yeah, turkey season is in full swing, and I haven't had a chance to get out yet, but I've got my my trousers are all sprayed with that permethrin. Keep those damn ticks away. And I'm going to try to get out later this week if things work out. Anyway, nice to have you on board for Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most enduring outdoor program. And we welcome your participation on this program, as we do every week. And if you'd like to be on our show, the number to call is
1-800-966-1039. You have to dial a whole number, you know, Paul, even if you're local.
Yes, you do.
1-800-966-1039.
And what's the other admonition?
Admonition?
Turn your radio down.
Please.
Yes, please do. That way you won't get that distracting echo. Echo, echo. I'm going to introduce our guest in just a moment. We're proud to have him with us tonight. But first, the crew that make this show possible week after week, month after month, year after year. The man behind the toggle switches in the operations center, the chief engineer, Mr. Norman F. Plourd.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We ought to say hi. Speaking of engineers, we haven't said hi in a long time to our engineer emeritus, Jim Layton.
Jim Layton.
Yes.
And we know Jim always listens every week. So say hi to Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Okay. And Wanda's probably there with him as well, so we say hi to Wanda.
Keep listening, Jim. I got a word for you in a minute.
Okay, you do. Mm-hmm. Our guest tonight is he's been a guest before. He is, I've called him a trout activist or trout evangelist. He knows almost as much about trout as Bob Lehman.
Almost. Not quite there yet.
Anyway,
maybe
he's got
to grow into it.
Yeah, and like Bob, he's written oodles of books about fishing. He really knows his way around a trout pond, and he's a president of the Native Fish Coalition. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. Executive director.
Okay, executive director.
Really matter.
All right. Anyway, his name is Bob Mallard. Bob, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. And Bob has a fantastic new book. I've just finished reading it in its entirety. And it's just a wonderful book, jam-packed with all kinds of fishing information. And we're going to walk you through that in just a couple of minutes. A couple other things to remind you of. Northwood Sporting Journal, of course, sponsors part of the show every week. And we invite you to pick up a subscription. You can call Alicia at the office. And she's a busy lady this week, but you can call her at 732-4880 and pick up a subscription. You can buy it at the newsstand as well. And we always urge you to check out our website at sportingjournal.com. And we have all kinds of digital subscriptions, past issues on that website. If you want to look at one of Bob's columns from like June of 2021, you can see Bob's old columns.
Yeah, great.
And the other good thing is if you have friends who are over in Bangladesh or
Cambodia.
You can hear us online streaming live.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes, it is incredible. Yep. And you wonder how they do that.
If you have, let's say you've got your son is serving in the military over in Frankfurt, Germany, and he misses Maine, he can listen to the show every Sunday night on his computer at What is it, VOM.com?
VOM.com, and then go to podcasts and find...
click on the show, right?
Click on the show.
Yeah, that's all there is to it.
Tony Oskowski, are you listening tonight? You got a nice note from me, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Tony's a great guy.
He is. He's
a regular. And Eric Warren out in Ohio.
Eric and I and his wife, Michelle, I think it is, going out to dinner in the first part of June when she's coming up to Maine.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. He bought a lot of flies from you, too.
Yeah, well, you bet.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Good customer.
I appreciate it,
too. All right. Okay, Outdoor Digest time right now. A couple of things. Don't forget, this is the last call to apply for your moose permit. Deadline for applying is May 15th. That's next week, right, Bob?
Certainly is.
And you have until midnight on May 15th. If you don't, you're out of luck. So if you're looking to apply for a Maine moose permit, do it soon. Try to get it done this week, and then you won't forget. Also, a couple of other items. The Trout Unlimited is having a speaker in Ellsworth. I think it's this week. I have it right here in my notes. May 17th at 5:30. Lou Zambello, who I think is in your book, isn't he, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Lou's a writer for that other publication, The Maine Sportsman.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to be presenting a fly fishing lakes and ponds for trout and salmon at 5:30. This is the community center in Ellsworth on State Street. Mark that date down, May 17th at 5:30.
You going down?
Well, I'm thinking I might.
There you go.
I've never met Lou, but I'd like to meet him and hear what he has to say.
I think I met him. I think they came to the Cabin Fever Reliever.
I think
they had a booth, I recall. Didn't they, Norman?
I wasn't there. So
One of the boys came over and chatted with me and introduced himself. I think it was he was vice president or something.
Yeah, they
we talked about him that next night that I was on. We talked about it.
Yeah. Anyway, he's going to be a speaker on the 17th at the Moore Community Center in Ellsworth at 5:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time to bring in the music. All right, what's going on in the fishing world, Mr. Lehman?
The fishing world, is it full moon tonight, is it? Is it full moon tonight?
A full moon?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it is. And
yeah.
And what do you call a full moon? Do you know, Bob?
By the light of the silvery moon, I want to swoon to my honey, I'll croon love's tune.
I think that's enough of that. What's going on? Silvery moon. Tonight.
Yes, it is.
Check it out. What a good night to see it, too.
Spring moon.
Yeah, there's no cloud cover. You should be able to get a look at it.
The last 2 days was just great. Yeah, it's been a good day to be out fishing.
It's been beautiful coming across the lake.
My son's been slaying them down the lake.
I know. I can't get my boat in the water.
But I kind of wanted to get back to the – let's see now. You'll be having a trivia question a little later.
Yes, we will.
And this comes right down to it almost.
Okay.
It's, Bucket Brigade stocking of all our lakes, of all these – Northern Pike and Bass and all this,
yeah.
What is it? Belgrade Lakes over there, that chain of lakes over there. There's so many Northern Pikes that they're catching over in that whole chain, Paul. It's destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, even the bass are being eaten up in those places. But, can you figure some guy who's got a camp on, say, Belgrade Lake, Jordy's going out to get a salmon once in a while. No more. It's all gone. And other places too, and Penobscot River. There's a lot of places. If they didn't have dams on some of these, we would really get up into those.
The St. John flowage with the muskie.
Cold Stream and
same
other places.
Situation.
Yeah, you can get in on this conversation, Bob, if you want to. But when I was up in Labrador, Diane and I worked for an outfitter up there, and the Attaconac River, which is a huge brawling river. The pike coexist up there, Bob, with the salmon and the togue and the whitefish, but the pike hang out in the little estuaries.
They hung out in the coves.
Yeah. So it's called coevolution, and when species naturally occur together, they do fine. When one is introduced, not so fine. And when both are introduced or multiple, anything can happen. But the the fish up in Labrador, if you've been there, you cast a moving water, you get trout. You cast behind you into the slow water, you get pike.
Yeah.
But a couple things you'll see is a lot of the brook trout do have scars from encounters.
Oh, yeah.
And you see low abundance. Not a lot of fish, but really big fish. But that's Mother Nature's way of sorting it out. It would be similar to taking, I'll just say, alligators – and throwing them in our swamps and then wondering how the beaver will do.
Yeah.
The beaver, northern beaver are not going to do well with alligators.
You take Flanders Pond down in Sullivan. I had a camp there, my first camp I ever built. For a little family, we had a wonderful time, brought beautiful salmon and trout. It was thousands and millions of bait fish all around the dock every day. And I finally sold that for $1,800, beautiful little sand beach and everything. And we moved up to Branch. And I heard later that somebody had bucket brigaded the bass into that thing, and it destroyed it completely. No bait fish, no salmon, no trout. They finally tried to put rainbow trout in there, but they didn't do well either.
Yeah.
So the bass just doesn't take long for bass to take over. No credit.
You know, the one thing I wonder about when everybody talks about bucket stocking, why hasn't anybody in all these years been caught?
Yeah.
And is it possible that they're getting into our system some other way and not from some dodo putting a bucket full of invasive fish in a pond? Is it possible they may be just getting into the water systems in a natural evolutionary way?
I wouldn't say natural
or
evolutionary, but we do know that once they're in, they move around. And fish can move way further than you think. They can get up or downstream pretty much anything, dams, anything.
But the pike have been in the St. John. Isn't it possible?
Those are muskies up there.
Muskies?
Yeah. Yeah. And it does take time. I mean, we're seeing...
You know that togue, I don't think, would get affected too much because they live in a different thermocline than... like
they
pickerel and pike and stuff. Yeah, yeah, they need warmer water.
Yeah,
probably they may have to come in to spawn in the shoals.
Yeah,
the toke, you know, so they would be acceptable then, you know. But other than that, I think they get by pretty well with them. But I don't know about salmon and brook trout. Not too well, not well.
And there are those folks like Norm who caught pike
and caught them,
enjoyed the heck out of it, and
they're tasty.
And enjoyed eating them.
They're tasty.
They're good, right?
Oh yeah, they're very good.
Yeah.
Problem is, it never ends.
Exactly.
We just keep piling non-natives on top of non-natives. You can take a look at Belgrade. That was historically a brook trout water. We lost the brook trout in the Belgrade so long ago, people don't even talk about them. They talk about the salmon, which were as introduced as the pike. Then it was bass, which were introduced. And, you know, now it's pike, and maybe it'll be muskie next. And so it's a never-ending battle, and nobody wins.
Yeah, bass, you know, Moosehead, Rapid River, they're really
taking over. I just can't figure out why somebody hasn't been nabbed by a game warden.
You know, it doesn't take much to bring him in. I don't think they're so dumb that they're going to bring him in the middle of the day. I mean,
it could be through the ice, because you can freeze a bass, bring him home, and put him in the sink. Thaw him out, and he's just alive as he was when you caught him.
You can't be sure.
I've done that.
What?
I've done that.
Right.
Absolutely, I have.
Yeah.
I know it sounds unreal, but it's true.
Mm.
I've done it.
Yeah. Wow.
I couldn't believe it myself.
Yeah.
But freeze-dried bass.
It's very possible, you know, they're freezing this bass and it went through the ice, taking them to another pond and putting them down the hole.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's a thought, you know.
Yeah. Okay, anything else in the fishing world?
No, I guess that'll wrap it up tonight then.
Okay, your prediction on a couple of our favorite streams. Are we getting the leaves are the size of a mouse's ear?
Hey, that's right. Actually, they've gone a little beyond that.
You think it's...
I think it is time. Definitely time. No question about it. In May, you know, because it'll get better because the hatches start in, you know.
Yeah. What do you think, Bob?
I think it's close. Depends on where you live.
Yeah.
We've got my big river up at the house. She's still... week or two away. Easily.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
It's June in Mercer County for sure.
Do you want to sing the rest of Silvery Moon or wait till next
week? By the line.
Okay.
I had to ask.
To get a quartet going.
Yeah, we may have to. Certainly could probably do a great job. Anyway, that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Again, if you just joined us, our guest tonight, we're proud to say, is Bob Mallard. Bob is a fishing activist. He's written four wonderful books on fishing in Maine. He knows his way around a trout pond, and he's got a lot to say about it in his new book called Fly Fishing Maine, Local Experts on the State's Best Waters. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. I read it thoroughly, and I thought I knew about most of these waters, but I learned so much I didn't know, and you will as well. So check it out. We'll talk to Bob about his book in just a minute. First, we have an outdoor trivia question. Bob has agreed to read the question to you, and if you have the right answer, if you satisfy Bob, that's Bob Mallard, not Bob Lehman, if you satisfy Bob Mallard, we're going to make sure you get a year's subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal, which is Bob Lehman's favorite outdoor publication.
Certainly is.
Right. And here to ask you the question is Bob Mallard.
All right. Let's see here. Question. Maine has about 465 trout waters that are designated state heritage fish waters. What is the legal distinction of these special waters?
And we want to know, what is it we want to know again?
Legal distinction. It's your words.
Okay. No, I got these out of your book.
Oh, no, legal distinction.
Yeah, yeah.
Geez, somebody else must have slipped that in.
Well, it was in your book.
I know.
Yeah, right.
So you want to know what the legal distinction is. In other words, what is special about these waters? What can't you do, in other words, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 1-800-966-1039. You cogitate on that. Meditate about that. Ponder that, and we'll be right back. Okay. We're back with Main Outdoors. It was a short commercial break. And Bob Mallard is waiting. Judge Mallard's waiting to judge the veracity of your answer to the question. Good evening. You're on Main Outdoors.
Yep. I'd like to take a shot at it.
All right. What's your first name, sir?
Fern. Oh, Sneaker.
Oh, this is Sneaker.
This is Fern Bossy.
Fern Bossy.
Is your wife Bossy, Fern?
Well, yes. Yes.
That's well, fun. That's too bad. I'm sorry for it.
Yeah. Okay, Fern, what do you think
Come
the answer?
On, admit it.
What's the answer, Fern?
I do believe that it hasn't been stocked for at least 25 years.
Anything else?
I think.
Well, it hasn't been stocked with brook trout for at least 25 years.
Hey, Fern. Actually, we were asking the legal restrictions, not the inclusion criteria.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the legal?
But since you mentioned the inclusion criteria.
Don't give it away to him now.
No, but I'm going to, since he's
okay.
got it.
All right.
Fern's a good guy.
Just because you know him, don't give it away.
So the inclusion criteria was originally never stocked with anything. And then it was changed, amended.
That's right.
To be not stocked for 25 years with anything.
That's right.
Not just brook trout. Yeah. Any stocking at all can keep it off the
but
list.
But Fern, there's something the state cannot legally do under the
can't
state.
Stock over them.
Okay. Is that the answer?
It's half the answer.
That's half the answer. What's the other half, Fern?
With any fish.
I don't know, Fern. We're still missing an important part here.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Okay. I'll listen to see what the answer is.
Okay. You want me to ask you the bonus question?
Sure. Go ahead.
How can you tell if a politician is lying?
You got it backwards.
How can you?
How can you tell if a politician is telling the truth?
How do you know if a politician's lying, Fern? Because you can see his lips moving.
I was going to say his lips are moving.
Okay. Yep. Hey, Fern, it's good to talk to you, guy. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you.
That's fine.
We love you, and we hope you won't go away mad.
You got your ad in.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, Fern. Yeah. Good luck. Yep. Tight lines, buddy.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
All right. Let's take another call. We're looking for an answer.
We don't have another call.
We don't have another caller. That must be a tough question.
I think Fern gets it.
I guess by default. Well, Fern, are you sure?
Fern, come back.
No. We'll let it hang. It'll be fun. We'll let it hang. I say we have half the answer. Half the answer is the state cannot legally stock a heritage water once it's designated, right?
That is true.
And there are roughly 500 of them. You say maybe a little more.
I've got to go check my number now.
Okay, check your number. But I read it in your book, 465. Yeah. It was in the book. And there's another thing that you can't do on a heritage water. And if you have the answer to that, you should be able to find it. You can find it in the law book. And we're going to give you a year subscription to the journal.
Oh, a good drive.
There is barely a reference to our heritage waters in the law book.
You're kidding.
Nope.
That's not very good. We got to change that.
We should. There should be an S-code or something.
I'm with you on that.
I just showed you that wonderful beer that's out of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Heritage.
And it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Heritage Waters IPA. So New Hampshire likes our Heritage Waters.
All right. We'll talk about that when we get to the book. We're going to leave that question hang. If we have a caller, we'll interrupt and take it. Right now, we want to get down to discussion with our guest tonight. Our guest, if you joined us late, is Bob Mallard, and Bob is a fishing evangelist, activist, whatever you want to call it. He is the executive director of the Native Fish Coalition. Now, what is the mission of the Native Fish Coalition?
To protect, preserve, and restore wild native fish. It is a conservation group, not a fishing club, founded in Maine 5 years ago, now operating in 16 states from Maine to Alabama.
All right. And we have a caller who may have an answer to the trivia question. We're going to digress here for just a moment. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Bob Mallard. Go ahead.
What is it? I can't use live bait.
That's it.
All right. Bingo. And awesome. you heard the other part of the answer already, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. You have won, I think. Right, Bob?
I give it them.
Okay. You are the winner. And what's your name, sir?
This is Jaden from Corinna.
Okay. Jaden from Corinna. You have won. That is correct answer. And you now have a subscription to the Sporting Journal. We're going to sign you up for that this week, but we have to get to your mailing address and your full name from Norm, who'll take that off the air, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Anything else going on, Jaden?
Nope, just got done fishing about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, how'd you make out?
I did pretty good getting some bass and pickerel.
Yeah? Oh, good. Right. Were the black flies bothering you at all?
They're wicked.
Yeah, they are already, aren't they? Yeah. That warm, warm weather's bringing them out. Okay, but at least you got out there and what? I'm sorry?
I've been using this cedar oil. It's working pretty good.
Does that work pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Keeps them away.
Yeah. Have you ever tried that old Woodsman fly dope that my dad used to cover me with when I was a kid? Isn't that awful?
Oh, yeah.
You can still buy that today, you know.
You can.
Could you?
Yeah, but it's nasty. Ooh.
Oh. It is nasty. So.
Yeah. Well, cedar oil. I've tried that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife uses Skin So Soft.
Really?
Bob Mallard and I have a solution to that. We have a big Havana Cuban cigar, right?
Yeah. Nothing like smoke.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah. It works pretty good, but when you start puffing it really hard, sometimes I get dizzy. Fall out of the canoe, right?
If I have it too early in the morning, I'll get kind of nauseous.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, congratulations to you, Jaden. Stay on the line, would you, lad?
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, that's the correct answer. State Heritage Water is one that is specially protected. It has native wild trout.
Wild brook trout.
It hasn't been stocked for at least 25 years.
25 years or more. It applies to both brook trout and Arctic char.
And in Bob Mallard's book, I don't know if you saw this. You skimmed through. In Bob Mallard's book.
No, I haven't seen the book.
He has – this is good, Bob Lehman. He has maps.
See, there you're talking.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Every heritage water is
that's great.
Is in here.
Yeah.
And they're peppered all over the place. There seems to be a concentration of them in Piscataquis County. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And, of course, over in western Maine, Rangeley area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get up way up north up into my favorite country. Yeah. We won't talk about that. I was glad to hear that you didn't mention my pet pond in there.
Not by name.
Appreciate that.
I will. I'll write a,
oh, don't, no, no.
I'll write a feature article
no, no,
on
gee.
It.
Oh,
for
please.
The, for
oh,
the other
oh, no.
publication.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. Where are we? I forgot where we are.
I think we're talking about my book.
Oh, okay. Your book. There we are. We took care of the we took care of the trivia question. Good.
Why else do you think I drove all this way?
I know. We're going to give you plenty of time here. All right. Let's talk about this book. Now this is your fifth book. All of your books I've read and I've listed them on our website. This is, in my opinion, it may be because it's the last book I read, but I love the one you did of the flies. That was beautiful. I shared that with you. Some beautiful.
Okay, good. I'd like to read it.
Beautiful layouts in there.
You get
there.
Done, I'll borrow it off you.
You will?
Yeah.
And, you didn't write an, Bob didn't write a little thing in here for me. I have to get him to sign it.
I'll have to get him to sign it.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a wonderful book. I'm trying to tell you why I liked it so much. You're a knowledgeable guy and you shared a lot of what you've learned in the book and, it's about people and it's about fishing, which is you know important. But one of the things that really caught my attention in this book is that you have it's not all you, it's others as well. You have I don't know how many other writers write in this book.
I think there's 20 maybe.
20. Yeah. 20 different people. Well, the subtitle of the book is Local Experts in the State's Best Waters. You've covered all of the waters in Maine and you know, you can live here all your life and you forget how many fantastic recreational fisheries we have in the state.
Grand Lake Stream in there?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, well, there you are. That's
you didn't read
one.
That?
Number one.
Yeah, Grand Lake Stream is in here. The West Branch, the Roach River.
Fresh Steel Stream.
East Outlet.
No Fresh Steel. Sunkays? No Sunkays.
So what seized you to write this book?
What was that?
What motivated you to write this particular book, Bob?
It, as I said in the introduction, I think in many ways it probably should have been my first book, but it ended up my fifth book. Started and stopped several times. Decided I didn't like different formats. And in the end, I felt that to do it the way I wanted to do it, I had to kind of earn my way into it. And that was to get some success behind me so I had more say as to the format. And I wanted a collaborative approach. I wanted to have some history, lore, and celebrity and course conservation. And so, you know, you get a little more freedom the more you write. So as it turned out, I think it's better than it would have been if I had done it 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And but it was, you know, kind of a wrap-up of what I've been writing the last 5 years. And it Maine's an important wild native fish state, and in order to draw attention to that, you need to cover everything. But it's also a historic state, fly tying.
Okay, we're going getting the high sign from our broadcast engineer, which means we're going to take a short profit break. If you have a question for Bob Mallard, he's the guy to ask anything having to do with wild trout. Number to call is
1-800-966-1039. You got to dial the whole number. You know that, Paul.
Yes, sir.
If you're local, especially. 1-800-966-1039.
You bet. We'll be right back. You stay with us here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we are back with Maine Outdoors. And our guest in the studio tonight, as I said, is Bob Mallard, who is executive director of the Maine Native Fish Coalition. And we've been talking about his great new book called Fly Fishing Maine: Local Experts on the State's Best Waters. And one of the did you say we had a caller lined up?
No, I was on. Oh, I had a caller that called in, but he didn't want to go on the air. And his question was the Borstone Mountain area. There's at least three ponds, like Sunset, Sunrise, and I forget what the other one is. And there's apparently one pond is sterile, but the other two ponds have got trout. He was wondering if anybody knew about those ponds and anything about those.
Yeah, I think one of them actually had a hatchery or something on it at one point. I've looked at it on Google Earth as well. But isn't that up on land owned by Elliottsville or something?
I don't remember who
either
owns
Audubon
the land.
Or Elliottsville.
I think it's the Audubon.
Yeah,
yeah.
He mentioned the Audubon.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen them. You know, while climbing Borstone, but I've never heard of anybody that I'm aware of that has fished them. I didn't know if they were accessible, you know, for the public or what.
Great Ponds Act, they're all accessible.
Oh, that's true. I forgot
you
about that.
You can go anywhere.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay, that is one of the topics I want to pursue with you, Bob Mallard. In your book, you mentioned some really treasure trove trout ponds. Mm-hmm. Pierce Pond, the one up near Namakana, maybe it's Namakana. There are a number of really high-quality treasure trove trout ponds that are pretty darn inaccessible to the average guy, right, or gal?
Lots of them.
And in your book, you don't take anybody to the woodshed over that. You just say, well, this helps protect the quality of the fishing, which is true. But I guess I would ask the question, how do these owners get away with not letting us get in to fish them? Isn't there a Great Ponds Act or something?
Great Ponds Act was inherited from Massachusetts. They still have the same law on the books. And it entitles us access and egress over unimproved land for the purpose of fish and fowl. So technically, that's all it entitles us to. If you want to gate your property so we have to walk in, that's legal. If you want to tell us we can't leave boats in there, that's legal. So it's a pretty generous law that I think a lot of people who grouse about it might not be so generous if it was theirs.
Yeah.
So it's better than most. Maine's weak access is our streams. We have access.
Okay. I fished on Kennebago. I stayed at Grant's camps, paid the price. But if somebody wanted to get in and fish that, can they do that legally?
And walk, yep.
If you're willing to walk 10 miles?
This is where the law gets a little interesting. And we've been lucky that it hasn't been challenged. But it says unimproved land. So you could argue that if I'm walking up your road, that's improved land. And we're lucky that the major landowners haven't interpreted it that way, or I wouldn't say they don't know. They haven't challenged it. It's primarily there so that you don't walk through my yard to get to
But you can legally walk into Pierce Pond if you want to?
Sure.
Or Kennebago?
Yes, sir.
They can't
do it. You can. People are biking into, you know, the Rapid and places like that.
Yeah.
And I've seen them bike into Kennebago. Is it legal? Depends on your interpretation of law. Has it been challenged? Not yet. Somebody will someday.
Yeah.
For Kennebago, there is another way in. Right at the gate, there's like 2-3 camps right there that you can rent. I believe it's a game warden has the camps.
Yeah. Reggie Hammond at the top up by the lake itself.
Because we rented it. Myself and another guy, we rented it one time.
Yeah, but you're not on the lake.
No, but you get the key to get through the gate, and we just drove down to
Kennebago. You do.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, Bob.
Is that so?
Oh.
So the Great Ponds Act doesn't apply to rivers and streams. So that would be one of the arguments, is if I chose to post my land on, say, the Kennebago, there's no real law.
If I bought all the shore land on Union River, I could keep everybody off that legally.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Okay. But there's also a navigable waterway law, which applies to rivers only, and the definition of navigable has something to do with the ability to float a pulp log.
And
that's why it was written that way.
Huh.
But, you know, you get into things like small streams, you know, you can be trespassed.
Yeah.
But we are – our access to river, lakes and ponds is better than most states. Our access to river and streams, less. But, again, we do a lot of it without a problem.
Well, we have a caller who may have a question. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Bob Mallard.
Good evening to all you folks. You do a wonderful show, and I didn't mean to interrupt the guest. Mr. Bob Lehman, Mr. Trout, what can you tell me about tiger trout in Willard Pond in Hancock, New Hampshire, 40 years ago?
Can't. I have no way of knowing. I haven't never
what
heard of it
tiger
before.
Trout
tiger trout? I've heard of tiger trout, but not know what you're talking about.
It's a cross between a brown and a brook trout.
There you are.
And most
Bob Mallard knows.
So most of what you see.
Do you have any more information on that? They used to be like in schools of hundreds and be danged if you could get a hold of them.
Yeah, they're mostly hatchery origin, but we are seeing what I believe to be an increase in wild tiger trout, where brown trout have been introduced over brook trout. For years, we've always done it, and we haven't seen a lot of reproduction or crossbreeding, but it appears to be on the rise. I'm going to guess that warming water is putting them on top of each other a little more than they used to be.
Okay, so I'm an old farmer, so they don't really reproduce real good yet. They have to be stocked.
They're supposed to be mules, and a lot of hybrids are mules.
Oh, okay. No, donkeys, horses, mules, yes.
I like flake.
So you don't get a lot of ongoing reproduction. The negative of mules biologically, and this is what happened with Arctic char.
Don't say the word JF.
I won't. So here's the problem: is if you have a native population, say brook trout, and you have an introduced brown trout, and the bulk of the attempted reproduction is the crossbreeding, then.
So what are you talking, like under 10% crossbreeding?
Oh, in natural environments where they naturally overlap, it's a fraction of a percent. Where we've introduced
Do any ponds in Maine have tiger trout?
No, Maine does not stock tiger trout, nor have I ever seen a tiger trout in Maine.
If they try to stock tiger trout, they're going to have Bob Mallard strangling somebody down there in the gut.
Well, I was going to ask Bob, did you ever catch a tiger trout?
I've seen them.
Because I never hear you talk about them.
We don't like tiger trout. Even I don't like tiger trout.
I didn't know how they
I can't understand the name.
Paul's particular about his hybrids. He likes flake, but he doesn't like tiger trout.
So he only likes to catch things with a cut fin.
All right, that's enough.
That's
I'm going to pull the plug on you, caller. You had it.
All right.
The fur on the tiger trout gets caught in your teeth.
Thanks for the call.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, sir. I guess thank you. I think a thank you. So we have another caller. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Bob Mallard. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard you talking about Pierce Pond.
Yes.
Pierce Pond is fairly accessible right on the Appalachian Trail.
How far do I have to walk?
Got to get over the river.
100 yards.
Yeah. Oh, that's not too bad.
No. If you're a young man and you got a little stamina, you could actually drag a canoe in there in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, what if you're an old man?
I don't go in anymore, so.
If you're old, you go to Cobb's Camps.
There you go.
They take care of everything.
I wanted to know what Bob thinks about the state of the Kennebec River north of Solon now.
You know, with bass in Wyman?
Yes, because of the bass in there.
I mean, it's... It isn't going to go well. Didn't go well upriver in the Forks when they first got in. It won't go well in Bingham. How long it takes, who knows. But it will be forever changed and not for the positive. What we'll probably see is, like we saw upriver, is we didn't even get a good bass fishery out of it. So we lost a really good brook trout fishery.
I'm from that area. I grew up on Wyman Lake, and when I was a teenager – you could catch rainbow in Wyman Lake, and for the last 30 years, I haven't seen one come out of there.
No, they used to spawn that small stream on the east shore, kind of a dip in the road, halfway up the lake. I forget the name of the stream, but they used to run that pretty good. They ran Pleasant when I was a kid, real hard, actually. There were little rainbows all through Pleasant Stream, but they seem to be mostly gone in the upper river now, and... The Bingham fish are still there, but their future with bass isn't great.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate your call. Thank you. Okay, we're with Bob Mallard. Again, if you have a question for Bob, we urge you to give us a call at what number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, we have some good news. You remember over, I think it was about 20 years plus, one of our regular sponsors of the program was General Appliance and Brewer. And then, lo and behold, last January, I guess it was, Al Elkin, who'd been talking about him for years, decided it was time to retire. And why anybody would want to do that is beyond me. But anyway, he elected to retire, and he was going to close the shop down altogether. But something happened. Gary Coleman, who is was Al Elkin's service guy for many years, decided to buy the place. And they have resurrected it, and it's going full tilt. They moved a couple of doors down, and General Appliance is still open right now. They have a complete line of everything that Al Elkin had for years. They have gas refrigerators. They have gas propane stoves. They have gas lamps. And the fellow that runs the place is Gary Coleman, and his sidekick, Tracy Ashy, also is there working with him on the books and so forth, running the store while Gary's out repairing appliances.
Great news, Paul. Great news.
It is good news. We're happy. Yeah. We're so happy to have them back. We welcome them back.
That's right.
And remember, they also sell. And Tracy was telling me this week. What are you laughing at?
I know where you're going.
Oh yeah, Tracy. This is the good part, folks at home. We wait for this all week.
Yes.
Tracy told us he'd sold six.
Ooh.
Compost toilets.
No fooling.
Right away, baby. We're back to riding the wave.
What?
We're back to riding the wave.
You said
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay.
Where's Jimmy Layton here? Come on, Jimmy.
So anyway, General Appliance is back. We're so pleased about this. We're glad to have them as part of the sponsor of the show. And you'll be hearing about them every week right here on Maine Outdoors. Again, they recognize their clientele, a lot of the folks who have camps with gas refrigerators, gas lights, a lot of the outfitters all over the state of Maine, the sporting lodges, they all depend on their gas refrigerators, gas lights, and gas ranges. Anyway, they're the great place to go. They stand behind everything that they sell. They service everything they sell, unlike some of these bigger box stores where sometimes you get a good deal at these box stores, but everything that you buy at General Appliance and Brewer, they stand behind it 100%, and they service everything they sell.
So, and they have patch.
They certainly do. And check them out, General Appliance and Brewer. Again, they moved up the street a couple of blocks. They're at 103 Center Street. That's right on the corner, Bob, of of Center and what's that other street?
North Main or South Main, either one.
Yeah.
The same street.
Yeah, Main Street. They're right on the corner there. You can't miss them.
Mm-hmm.
General Appliance and Brewer, and we're so glad they're back in business, and we urge you to patronize them as we have for many, many years.
Certainly have.
Certainly have. Okay, and we're back with Bob Mallard, and I wanted to just make an observation, Bob. You know, speaking of retirement, when I read your book, I got thinking, you know, man, I missed a lot of this stuff. I haven't had a chance to fish these, and I'm getting long in tooth, long in the tooth. So I think what I'm probably going to do is retire this week and spend the rest of the month and a half fishing some of these ponds and rivers,
bucket,
and streams.
Bucket brigade.
Oh,
bucket,
man.
Bucket list.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to fish all these.
I've actually had people bought my books and told me that they kind of use them to just narrow it down, try to fish them all.
Yeah. So then comes the follow-up question. I've got a bunch of them here, and I'm sure Bob does. But if you are going to, and again, they're in the book, and if you want to get a copy of Bob's book, you go to bobmallard.com.
.com. Signed copies.
Signed copies.
Sent to your home.
Okay. You got to have it, folks. If you fish, if you like to fish, you got to have this book, all right? Just take my word for it. So my question is, if you had to pick, if somebody had to, was going to come to Maine to fish for a month, they want to fish four waters, and they love trout fishing. Trout fishing is their shtick. Where would you
say trout? Do you mean brook trout?
I'm talking about wild native brook trout. Where would you tell them to go?
The Rapid.
The Rapid.
The McGalloway.
Galloway.
Kennebec Gorge, I like. There are bass in there, but it's a beautiful, remote piece of water.
Kennebec Gorge.
Yeah.
What town is that near? Bingham?
It's in West Forks.
Up by West Forks, okay.
Yeah. It's very remote, very rugged. It's where they raft.
Never fished that in my life. Although I fished that with you in your drift boat one time.
No, we did Solon downriver, a couple dams downriver.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably, I mean, if it's brook trout you want, Rangeley's where to be. I mean, you've got four or five of the best brook trout rivers in the country right there.
Yeah. You know, I go up there not as often as I go other places, but I was up there with my wife at the camping at the Cupsuptic campground there.
Yep.
And, you know, we did the McGalloway, and we did the Upper McGalloway, and anyway, but strictly by accident, I discovered the Rangeley River right there beside Aquasic. And I'd been up there many times and didn't even know it was there.
Nope. No,
that was a nice stretch.
If you took, say, the Rangeley River, Cupsuptic River, you move them anywhere else, they're the best brook trout stream in the state.
Yeah.
And Rangeley, they're like the third and fourth best.
It was a short stretch of water.
Yeah,
but
fourth and fifth best.
But it was wonderful fishing, good wading.
Yeah, it's also extended season, so you can fish that in October.
Yeah.
Very accessible from both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny, I'd driven up there and didn't even know it was there.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful spot, yeah.
And Carrie Stevens got her record trout up in that country.
Up on Upper Dam.
Upper Dam.
Upper
Richardson Lake.
We wrote about Upper Dam and Graydon Hilliard, who's passed away.
Yeah.
But that was, at one time, you could argue it was the most famous trout fishery in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was written about long before they were talking about Madison River in Montana and stuff.
Mm. So the Rapid River, you got to...
Yeah,
I've been in there with my son. We walked in a pouring rain, and then later my two sons biked in there and had some good fishing, and they said they saw you, but it wasn't you. Somebody looked like you.
Somebody looked like me.
Yeah. Anyway, you got to either walk or bike or hire a guide in there.
Or stay at the camp.
Stay at the camp, yeah.
Lakewood.
Yeah, yeah. And I can tell this is one of your favorite haunts, right?
I mean, it's a beautiful piece of water.
Yeah.
I don't get to it as often as I'd like. But, you know, to be honest, the presence of bass is really disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, I call it the, you know, fly in the soup.
Oh, it's awful.
It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's changed how I view that water. And we're not doing nearly enough to try to turn the tide.
What could we do there to turn the tide?
Do something. Well, if I was the fish czar, I'd be electrofishing that pond. Every day, I'd have a boat
would
just docked there.
I would
pound those bass out of pond in the river like they do Yellowstone Lake.
But you're going to kill trout if you do that, right?
Nope.
No?
It just shocks them. You can rehabilitate them in a bucket.
Take the bad ones and leave the good ones.
Yep. And I would e-fish the river itself during the summer when it's loaded with bass. I'd get rid of as many as I could. The more bass you get rid of, the more room you make for trout. Yeah. And you limit, lessen predation. But we're going to learn a lot about bass and bass control now that they're in the Miramichi. So they've found their way into the most fabled Atlantic salmon water in the world. And
believe it or not, there's a lot of bass guides in the state.
Yeah, in this state.
Especially down east,
So, and that's what happens when you lose your trout fishing.
Yeah.
But with the presence of bass in the Miramichi, incredibly valuable fabled fishery, what's going to happen is we're going to get smart. We will learn from them. They will take that step. They will push the envelope. They'll think out of the box, and they'll start feeding the rest of the world ideas. But
have you been agitating Fish and Wildlife Department to do something as you've recommended?
Yeah, I mean, I've written about it all over and over. Yeah. I've been in contact with folks who own land up there.
What are the Fish and Wildlife people say?
You know, they said that they didn't feel that removing bass was going to change the situation, and they didn't want to mislead anglers into believing it would. Conversely, we're telling anglers that they can harvest that they need to harvest lake trout out of Sebago to help make room for landlocked salmon. And so I find it kind of interesting that we believe that anglers could make a difference on an ocean with a deep water fish, but we couldn't make a difference on a river.
Yeah.
I mean, we could remove hundreds, thousands of fish a year out of that river if we wanted to. And
now, Umbagog feeds the Rapid River.
Yeah.
And there's quite a bit of bass in Umbagog, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's pike in Umbagog. So pike can
get in. Has there always been bass in Umbagog?
Long time. Took them a while to get up. But, you know, just like the Kennebec, it took years for them to push their way. The first one I ever saw was out of Harris Dam, head of the gorge. It was almost a decade before I saw one at Grand Falls up on the Dead.
Yeah.
But they're there now. And I mean, you'll always get fish from Umbagog. Again, if I was fish czar, I'd have a fish weir at the bottom of the rapid, make sure them damn pike don't get in there, stop the flow of bass, and then I'd declare war on bass in the pond and the river and the river itself, and I'd knock those numbers down. I'd keep them down. It can't be a one and done. You've got to be committed. Yellowstone Lake has a boat or two every day removing lake trout. And over the years now, they've got better at it. We're seeing the cutthroat return in size and numbers. And so it can be done if you want to do it. And there's a lot of money in Rangeley, and there's a lot of history there. So it just seems that, you know, as of most things in Maine, you know, it's turf.
Yep. Okay, but I think we're –
yeah, we lose things for, you know, turf and other reasons.
Yeah.
It's time to get serious about the Rapid River.
You bet. Bob, it's been a pleasure to have you aboard here tonight. And again, I commend your book to anybody who enjoys fishing. And to get your book, what do they do?
BobMeller.com. And go to the store tab, and we'll ship.
You get a signed copy.
Signed and shipped.
And you cover how many different waters in this book?
I'd say
25 or 30, right?
Close to 40, I guess.
Yeah, right. Anyway, nice to have you here.
Thank you. And it's always fun.
Okay, and next week our guest is going to be – who is our guest next week? Jared Bernstein is going to
be – Jared Bernstein and Bob Lehman won't be here for 2 weeks.
Okay, you won't?
No, I'll be –
that's right. Okay, we'll see you all next week without Bob Lehman. Right here on
Maine Outdoors.